and it did a number of years ago. My mother was in a nursing home, a woman who loved the Lord, had raised her family for God, and it was obvious that the time was coming when Mother was soon going to leave us. Christmas Day came, the telephone call from the nursing home and said, "Mr. McEntee, we're afraid your mother's going to slip away very soon." As soon as I could, I went to be with her, and she came through that experience. About the 16th of January that month, that year, my mother was becoming progressively worse. I visited her a number of times that day, and 5 o'clock I called Helen and said, "What time's supper?" She said, 5:30. I said, "I'll be there, but I'm staying a few more minutes." Mother was unconscious. My brother's Believer's Hymn Book was on the night table beside her, and I picked it up, and softly I began to sing, "O Christ, He is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. The streams on earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above. There to an ocean's fullness, His mercy doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land." I turned from my hymn book to my mother, and Mother was gone. God had granted my request to be with her when she left for heaven. And so that hymn has been so precious to me. The nurse came in and she said, "Mr. McEntee, I think I'll give your mother a drink." I said, "Yvonne, I don't think she needs it." This reading, we'll turn to Matthew 24 and verse 3. I'm going to have to read fast, so if you will listen fast, we'll be okay. Matthew 24 and verse 3. We'll go to verse 22. "And as he sat, as the Lord Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?' Jesus answered and said unto them, 'Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them which give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight shall not be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days shall be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. For from the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." And now, quickly to the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, and we'll read in at verse 15. and the king of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? May the Lord bless to us his reading as we ask him so to do. Father, thank you for your inspired word. Again, please enliven it to us. We pray in our Savior's precious name. Amen. We have in our study come through that period called the Age of God's Grace. And we have seen how that God in his love reached out to lost and perishing men. That age period will be drawn to a close in the very same way in which it began. It began with a shout from Calvary's cross. It is finished. The great work of everlasting redemption, an accomplished fact, began with a shout. And it will terminate with a shout when he calls us into his immediate presence to come up into his presence. And we will be with him for all of eternity. Now, the period that follows the age of grace is the tribulation period. Now, I believe with all my heart that we can already see signs of the tribulation period. Things that will be introduced during that period. The economic system, for one thing, with the advancement of technology. We used to think years ago and were taught that we would wear that those who bowed to the wishes of the Antichrist would have a mark on their foreheads. And it may be a literal mark, but it could well be a computer chip embedded in the right hand or in the forehead that can be placed under a scanner and read all the details that the Antichrist wants to know about us. And we're living in that day. Actually, as you may know, some already have these chips placed in their cattle or in their pets so that immediately they can find them if they go astray. And so, this plus other things that we will discuss this morning make us realize and believe with all of our heart that these things are about to happen. The winds of change are blowing, and beloved, the storm is soon to break upon us. Now, we mentioned the tribulation period, and this will be a terrible, terrible period of time. The Bible calls it the tribulation, possibly for the first half of the 7-year period, and latterly, the great tribulation. The great tribulation. The suffering that will be experienced, what God will throw out upon this sin-cursed earth, is almost unbelievable. But again, on the pages of this pre-recorded history, we know what's going to happen. And so we'll look together at some of them. Now, as far as believers are concerned, I believe with all my heart that we will not experience the tribulation. Now, if that doesn't start your corpuscles running just a little faster, I don't know what will. Beloved, I believe we will not be here. I believe that for several reasons. First Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. We have been saved to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, now get this, which delivered us from the wrath to come. In accepting his Son, we will not only be saved from the awful wrath of a burning lake, but I believe with all my heart, we will be saved from the wrath of the great tribulation period. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, we have this statement. I will keep thee from the hour of testing or wrath, which will come upon the earth to try them that dwell on the earth, to test them that dwell on the earth. So, very briefly, I believe that the tribulation period will not be an experience of the believer, but while the world down here goes through this awful period, we will be with the Lord to come through the experience of the judgment seat of Christ, and then, as we noted, the marriage supper of the Lamb. I like what Dr. Reynolds Showers of the Institute of Biblical Studies says on this particular point. He says this, the pre-tribulation rapture view is the only view which comfortably fits the biblical teaching of the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he saying? We believe in a pre-tribulation or a pre-trib rapture. We believe the fact that the Lord Jesus is coming for his church before the tribulation, and thus a pre-tribulation rapture. There it is. Now, if we see these things taking place that are going to happen during the tribulation period, tell me this. How much closer must the rapture be? How much closer must the rapture be? And yet men and women who know the gospel and have rejected God and his Son drift through life, throwing away their opportunities of salvation. They must realize things have to change. They must change as they get progressively worse. And before they get better, they will get worse, as we shall see. The tribulation period will be approximately a 7-year period between the coming to the air of the Lord Jesus Christ to rapture his believers, living and dead, into his presence, and the period or the event that follows that 7-year period when the Lord Jesus Christ will actually come to this earth to take up the reins of government and guide and rule and reign to prove to man that he has the ability to do so. And so the tribulation then falls between the rapture of the saved here and the return of Christ in glory, or as you have it on the one handout, the manifestation, when he will be manifest in glory, as we will see this afternoon. So the tribulation period, and we thank our God that the believer will not be present for that awful, awesome event. As far as this period is concerned, this tribulation period, another name it is given is the 70th week of Daniel. And very briefly, I tell you this. The Word of God tells us about 70 weeks during which God will take a special dealing with the people of Israel. And it began in 445 B.C., when Artaxerxes decreed the rebuilding of the temple and the city of Jerusalem. For 7 weeks, or 7 weeks of 7 years each. In other words, for 49 years, and the temple was rebuilt. Then, in this period of time, 62 weeks took place, a period of 434 years. And then the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Mr. Anderson has done a unique study in this particular period of time. And then, with the cross and the sufferings of Christ, the age of grace was entered. Israel was not a nation until May the 14th, 1948. As we were told, that mentioned this morning, that God was going to make of Israel and of Abram's seed a great nation. The fig tree of which Israel is a type began to bloom on May 14, 1948, and that's 50 years ago. Now, I remember my mother saying to me, "Arnett, now that Israel's been recognized as a nation, that means the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ is very near. And 50 years have passed since. I repeat, how much nearer then must that date be? And so this 69 weeks here when God dealt with Israel, he laid them aside during the age of grace and reached out to the Gentile and invited the Gentiles, you and me, and still does today. For how much longer, we don't know. But he still invites us to himself. But then, with the tribulation period, there will come that period of time known as Jacob's troubles, that 7-year period, that 1 week of years during which God is going to deal with his people. And it's divided into 2 3-and-a-half-year periods with a scripture reference in Matthew 24:15 and Daniel 9:27. And then we come to his advent when he manifests himself, his presence, and his power. And so the age of grace comes to a close with a rapture of the church into the presence of our beloved Lord. Israel, I repeat, as a nation, they had said, we will not have this man to reign over us. When he made the statement that he was the Messiah, he was the King of the Jews, they adamantly said, we will not have this man to reign over us. They said, his blood be on us and on our children. And down through time, what's happened? Israel has been persecuted and plagued and tortured, most notably through the Holocaust, when millions died. They placed a sentence upon themselves in Pilate's judgment hall when they sentenced the Lord of glory to suffering on a cross. The tribulation, this awful era of martyrdom, vast numbers of Jews and Gentiles will be slain for their faith in Christ. Now, everyone who was born again prior to the rapture will have gone to heaven. But others will trust the Savior during this period of time as they anticipate the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ at his second advent. Let's think this morning of the one who will take full control during that awful period of time, during the tribulation period. I repeat, we believe in the pre-tribulation rapture position, and we will discuss briefly in our next study, make reference to the fact of the amillennial and the post-tribulation period referred to by some. But our thrust this morning and throughout the study will be the pre-trib rapture of the believers. The one who will appear to take charge during this period of time will be known as the Antichrist. He will be the personification of everything opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan, you see, has always been a master deceiver. And he has always sought to, shall I say, upstage the Godhead. And so, whereas there is the Trinity of deity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, so Satan will have his Trinity of evil. And that Trinity of evil will tragically be the Antichrist, who, shall I say, is parallel to God the Father. There will as well be there will be Satan, who will be parallel to God the Father. Then, secondly, there will be the Antichrist. What does it mean? Against Christ, contrary to Christ. So he will be the second person in this trinity of evil. And finally, there will be the false prophet, who will parallel the Holy Spirit of God. Satan has, I repeat, always been a deceiver, and he always will, right through time. So, the Antichrist then, who has been this master deceiver, having this trinity of evil, and with the believers having been ushered into the presence of God, those saved through the tribulation, now will have the world to himself, as it were, to cause it and force it to do his will. The Antichrist, I believe, will be a very cunning political leader, and it will be his desire to be in total and complete charge of the world. And this again is where the technology of the computer will be invaluable to him. Invaluable. And so this man, this super diplomat, will seek to gain power in every possible way. I guess it's maybe 25 years or more ago that I was watching the Today program, the news program from NBC in the morning. Tom Brokaw was the host of that program at that time. He was interviewing a number of the NBC correspondents scattered throughout Europe. And as he did, he asked one of them, as you travel through the capitals of Europe, is there any one theme that is predominant? And without missing a beat, that commentator said, yes, there is. What it is, it asked Brokaw. And he said, every nation I've visited has said, if we only had a leader, one man, to whom we could give all our authority, then he could lead us. What were they saying? What we need is the Antichrist. And my friend, take a look at Europe, Western Europe, and see how it is coming together to make possible an area to be governed by one man. And that man bears the name of the satanically inspired Antichrist. Thessalonians 2, verses 8 and 9, we read these words. Even he whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and all signs and living wonders. And so that's the man, satanically inspired, known as the Antichrist, who will take control of this world. I don't know, I'm sure you've made the observation, how that this world is going more and more to the satanic left. Take a look at Halloween. We're spending almost, I say we, the world is spending almost as much time in preparation for Halloween as it is for Christmas. This truth really gripped me when a few years ago, returning from a trip in the United States, I was coming home on Halloween night. And the clerks behind the counter were dressed in Halloween garb. People on the plane who served you were doing the same. I'll never forget going up to the counter, and here was a guy in the habit of a priest. White collar, looked just like a priest, and he looked so out of place. But that's it. Man is going further and further from God as he follows more and more the wishes and the ways of Satan. So, the Antichrist will soon, I believe, make his appearance subsequent to the rapture of the church to heaven. Where will he come from? Well, it is thought that he will come from Western Europe. It is also thought that he will very likely be a Jew by background. All of these things stated in Scripture, and yet they present such unique problems in their interpretation at times. But think of what's happened in Western Europe. In 1992, just 6 years ago, the trade barriers came down in Europe. Now, those countries of Western Europe are heading for a common currency. Think of it. Giving up their authority for a common currency. And even some years ago, as far as the European Economic Community was concerned, it controlled more than 60% of Western Europe's economy. And it's growing. and is becoming a power to be recognized and reckoned with. So, from the United States of Europe, it is possible this world-dominating individual will arise. This man will be cunning. He will be cruel. Many speculate that he is already upon the planet, but not yet revealed. But very quickly, after the rapture, such will take place. During his reign, God will pour out unparalleled grief and suffering upon the world that has rejected his Son. Already the shadows, I repeat, of the tribulation are falling across our path. During the period of the tribulation, this period, why, the Jews will suffer like they've never suffered before. They said, His blood be on us and on our children. God says, okay, it will happen, and it most certainly will. But I've already mentioned the sufferings that the nation has experienced already during the lifetime of some of us. So, the Antichrist is coming. During that period of Jacob's trouble, what awful suffering. The current worldwide hatred for the Jew is very obvious. Whenever he is mentioned in public dialogue, it is with a curl of the lip. And it's interesting as you go back and study the actions and the votes within the United Nations of the frequency with which the nations of the world have supported the Arabic powers against Israel, when obviously on many occasions Israel was in the right. But God said that the nations of the world would marshal their strength against the Jew, and that is what is happening. And so, during this awful period of which we are currently living in the shadow, there will be terrible persecution, specifically against the Jew. Now, it's very, very interesting. And as I mentioned a few moments ago, I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, that we're going to heaven before this happens. And it's very interesting, as you read the book of the Revelation, that you will find in your reading that there is no reference to the church after chapter 5, until you come to chapter 20. Why? Because the church has been raptured out of this scene, during which all these unparalleled sufferings will be heaped. The church is gone. Praise God. But let's think a little bit about the sufferings of and the experiences of what will happen down here on the planet. There will be this man who rises, this Antichrist as he's known, and during the first 3.5 years, he will permit the Jew to worship Jehovah, more or less, as he was. He'll tolerate their worship. And that being the case, then they will worship and continue to worship, but then he will realize that he wants the worship to be directed toward him. And Satan will inspire him to request, to demand the worship of the entire planet to himself. Why? He is the Antichrist. He doesn't want Christ or God to be worshipped. That worship must come to him. And so, God is going now, according to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1, to pour out upon this earth sufferings of a specific nature. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, where we read of one who will stand with a bow and cause suffering. Let's go back, let's go over to Revelation chapter 1, and we'll have it correctly. Revelation chapter 6, I'm sorry, and verse 1. And I saw When the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow and a crown that was given him. And so he will go forth to conquer. But in the opening stages of this experience, when he pours out his wrath upon the people on the planet, there will be the bow. And with the bow, of course, there will go armament. There will be the arrow. And the armaments of God that he will use as yet undescribed to inflict upon the people those things that he has deigned should happen. Verses 3 and 4, why will there be war between nations in verses 3 and 4? Verses 4, why peace has been removed. How about it? Is this happening today? It most assuredly is. In lands where there has never been talk of war or unrest between people groups, it's happening. And certainly in Europe, with the demise of the great USSR, why, nations there have had their experiences of civil war and brothers against one another. And there will be wars and rumors of wars, wars between nations. In verse 5 and 6, that will include as well famine and food shortages. Think of it. As far as our society is concerned, exploding population, and as a result, a shortage of food. Fantastic percentage of food is wasted, particularly when you journey to the land of India, where creatures are held sacred, and where food is given to them rather than to human beings. But it will happen. There will be hunger. Do you know that even in our own country, there has never been as many food banks in operation as there is at this time? And that in favored Canada. But then in 7 and 8, there is death that will follow. A quarter of the earth in 7 and 8 of chapter 6 of Revelation, a quarter of the earth will die. There will be war. There will be disease. There will be famine. There will be AIDS. There will be diseases of an unknown type. Think of what AIDS has done, even in a short period of time since it was first identified. Helen and I have a dear couple, friends, the Crosses from the Toronto area, have just come back from Uganda, where they have sought to establish some kind of a relief institution for children who have been left orphans because both parents have died from AIDS. And those little kids have it. And it's a land, they said, that they know the dangers of AIDS in the daytime, but they forget all about it at night. Unparalleled number of people are dying because of AIDS. Think of other diseases. The man-eating disease that Lucien Bouchard, among others, contracted. It hasn't been a well-known or a popular disease. But these things, I believe, in the last time, in the tribulation period, will manifest themselves in unparalleled proportions. There will be martyrdom in verses 9 to 11. Many will be slain for the cause of Christ. Those who have put their trust in the Savior. They heard of a coming Redeemer who is coming in glory, from the lips of 144,000 Jewish evangelists. And now, they have trusted the Savior. But many, the moment they do, will be slain because of the hatred of the man, the Antichrist, who sits upon the throne. How about the disturbances of a cosmic nature? I'll never forget that night when Helen and I had been out, and I'm sure you can remember the night. Walked in, and I went through to our den and turned on TV, and why, here was what looked like a city in flames. I was appalled. And I called her to come and join me. And it was the earthquake in Los Angeles. You remember those sights. And here was a city, part of which was in flames because of an earthquake. Shortly thereafter, there was an earthquake in Quebec. Another in Italy. And various places, the Word of God says, earthquakes in diverse or various places. Watch your newspaper. View the television as earthquakes appear all unannounced and unexpected in various places. But then there are these six seal judgments, as the scripture refers to them, in Revelation 6. But then there are the trumpet judgments of chapter 8. And in verse 7, why, we read about hail, we read about fire, we read about blood. We read about a third of the vegetation being burned up. Think of it. A third of the vegetation around the world. What would that do to the food supplies of the nations? Third of the food supply burned up. Will it be a nuclear holocaust? I don't know. Scripture hasn't defined it, but it says that a third of the food vegetation will be burned up. Verses 8 and 9 of chapter 8 of the Revelation. A third of the sea will be destroyed, and its fish, ships and crews, of course, will be destroyed. What will this do? At least two things. It will certainly interrupt the flow of commerce from country to country. As well, it will destroy the fish stocks within the sea. Again, the food supply will be greatly affected. These are serious, serious times. And I thank God again that I will not be a part of it. But very quickly, I must state this. There are other things, and you'll find them in chapters 8 and 9. A third of the water will be unfit for human consumption. One writer has said that he believes wars will be fought for water supply. Possibility. The sun will be smitten, affecting the light and the temperatures. Demonic creatures will torture the unsaved. A third of the world population will die. Great world earthquakes. And then the bowl judgments. What are they? Why, people will be inflicted by malignant sores that they won't be able to cure or get rid of. What a terrible situation. The seas will become as blood. The rivers and the springs will turn into blood. It will be a scorching heat. Men will curse God, but they won't repent and turn to God. They'll curse Him. The plagues of darkness. Men will gnaw their tongues with their teeth as they experience the excruciating pain inflicted upon them by the holy. Plagues of darkness. Then, all of this in preparation for Armageddon, the great battle that will be fought at the end of the tribulation period. My friend, these are terrible days. I conclude with verse 21 of chapter 16. And what does it tell us? It tells us that there will be hailstones of 100-pound weight. We were in Kansas and in Missouri after a severe hailstorm that dented the cars. Cars were a mess. But what will a 100-pound hailstone do? Terrible. And they will come. They will come. Just this past week, we learned about the meteor that's supposedly on its way in the direction of the earth. They've now changed their prediction that it's going to miss in 30 years hence. Well, we don't need to worry about it. We're not going to be here, the believers. But these are terrifying things. And I believe the solar system will in many instances become unstuck at the command of God, who now holds it all together. By Him all things consist, Colossians, or are held together. And he at his command will cause them to be come unstuck. Will there be salvation through the tribulation? I believe there will be, as I have mentioned. Revelation 7, verse 4, 144,000 Jewish evangelists will go through the lands proclaiming the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back to reign and to rule. Now notice, for the people who knock on your door and say they are among the 144,000, ask them, which tribe of the 12 do you belong to? Because these were Jewish evangelists. On that point, I enjoyed recently, as the knock was heard on the door and I opened it, and two folks stood there. I said, am I ever glad to see you? Tell me. I've got 5 minutes to live. Tell me. How can I be assured of heaven? Well, they fumbled and they fooled around and they couldn't give me an answer. Well, I said, I can tell you. And I told them the simple gospel of God's love and Christ's death for them for eternity. But those who trust the Savior will suffer. Revelation 6 and verse 10. They will cry, how long, O Lord, holy and true. They are told that there will be release. There will be release when the last has turned and when the Lord returns in power and in glory. The end of the tribulation, that awful period of time when the heavens will open and when all the nations of the world have gathered themselves together, surrounding little Israel, the powers from the north, be it Russia and her cohorts, the powers from the west, be it the European community, be it the powers to the south of Israel, the Arabic forces, whether it be the powers from the east, certainly we're told, 200 million will march from there. And the Almighty will have dried up the Euphrates to admit that mammoth army to cross. And they will all have marshaled into the little land called Israel to take a spoil and to trample Israel under its feet, to drive that little nation that occupies a land smaller than the state of New Jersey into the sea. The nation of Israel finally cries for its God, and in an instant, out of the courts of glory, there comes one riding on a white horse, upon his brow many crowns. He has many authorities. On his thigh, and on his brow the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he comes in his power. The very word of his mouth, he banishes into eternity. The fiery sword, the enemies of Israel and of her God. And victory's accomplished. The nation will realize.